Hello and welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened to leaks in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd movies and or television, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Explicit content warning. We'll try our best not to cuss, but we can't make any promises. Slip-ups do happen. Yeah. What up?
Hi.
What's up, Christian? You seem very down and irritated or something. I don't know.
No, my throat just hurts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sick.
So I'm going to be talking very close to the mic.
Okay. I don't know.
How is your throat doing today?
It's all right. The reason we asked because we had a conversation and it felt like I was getting sick. And then Christian said he might be getting sick and people in our house are sick. So, you know, we're just catching up with each other right now.
Well, my throat like was not very sore. And then after last night, it was very sore.
Yeah. Well, probably because, like, all the smoke and stuff. So,
yeah.
Christian had his first clubbing experience last night.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I've been to plenty of nightclubs before, and I don't know. It wasn't all that. I don't feel like the crowd really wasn't out there, maybe because it's wintertime and it's cold, and people are scared it might rain, so maybe people didn't come out as much. We went to like this like hole in the wall kind of bar. I don't even know like what it was called.
Yeah.
But they serve like cheap drinks and like they're strong as shit. Like there's usually more alcohol than like whatever it's being mixed with, which is usually the opposite for bars, you know, to save them money and stuff.
Right.
And to make a lot of more money right. as well. Then we went to Faces, like a gay nightclub. And it was interesting because, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that, those lifestyle choices. But me and Christian are both, you know, heterosexual males. So
most of the time.
Most of the time. Oh, okay.
Just
sick.
Kidding. All the time.
All of the time. So, yeah, I mean, I've never been to like a scene like that, really. And it was interesting. I mean, I wasn't really bothered by anything. I think it was just more or less like, I don't know, like. I didn't really care for the music they were playing too much. Like yeah. It was like some good music here and there. They have like a bunch of different rooms where like they play like different music.
Blast from the past to like 10 years ago.
Yeah. It was like, oh, like almost like there's like some EDM music, some house music going on. And then like in the other room, there's like hip hop and rap.
Yeah.
And then like there's another room where it was like fucking like trap music and shit. And I was like, what the fuck is
greatest
this?
Greatest hits of 2001.
Yeah, dude. It was interesting. And we went with our friend Colton and his friend Kyle.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. Haha. I knew it started with K.
He liked us.
Yes. Kevin's a good guy. Sorry, I didn't remember his name. Sorry if you're listening to this, by the way, Kevin.
What's not to like? I mean,
He was a good feller. He was a good feller. He was very nice meeting him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we went there with them, you know. And I mean, for your first club experience, what did you think?
Well, the first bar we went to was, like, really dead. Like, there were a lot of people there. But they were all just kind of, like, standing around doing nothing. So I was like, okay. Like, there was music, so I figured people would be dancing at least, you know, while they're drinking. But everybody's just, like, sitting outside smoking cigarettes, like, doing nothing. I'm just like, all right, well, maybe just because it's, like, a bar, it's more, like, relaxed, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So then, like, when we went to the club, like, it could have just been because it was, like, only, like, 10 o'clock when we got there or something or
yeah,
whatever.
It was very early, very early.
Still. But, like, still, there were, like, a couple people dancing, but, like, out of probably, like, a couple hundred people there were, like, three or four people dancing, you know?
And then, when we switched rooms, though, like, when he actually got, like, on the dance floor and, like, we were, like, kind of, like, you know, doing our thing or whatever. You know, nothing major, but, you know, kind of two-step, yeah. Like, you know, fist pumping a little bit, you know. It isn't, like, music. Like, I don't really usually dance like that, you know. I'm, like, more or less used to, like, you know, dancing with, like, a female, you know, to dance with, you know.
Yeah.
Have fun that way or whatever. But it wasn't really like that. You know, there really wasn't anybody to dance with like that. And so you just kind of, like, do your own solo dancing and stuff and, you know, it was cool. And then, like, you know, people did start coming out more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah.
But
like after, like, a half hour, 45 minutes there, like, that's when we like finally got to like actually dance around, you know, like without like just looking like weirdos with a bunch of people standing around you.
Yeah. But yeah, like that's the thing about clubs. Like, and I think maybe like you were like a little over like desensitized by watching like shows such as like Jordy Shore and Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
You know, where like, you know, those shows are all about like the nightclub life and stuff like that, and give you like the opposite spectrum of like they're always in like the VIP sections and like they're like in towns and stuff like that where there's like maybe only like a couple of clubs. Sacramento, we have like 15 clubs downtown. Right. You know what I mean? Like it's I don't know. It's very different from like how you would perceive it. You know, from watching like reality shows such as the ones I just listed. So, yeah. I mean, it was interesting, and I don't really feel like that was even the true club experience. I mean, that is like a big part of it. You know, like I said, like there's like different type of people at the club. There's going to be your wallflowers. There's going to be your dancers, right. You know, and well, people just standing at the bar.
I think for me, it's like I'm never going to get like the true club experience, you know, because like I think like most people to get that have to, you know, loosen up a little bit by drinking and, you know, maybe. Be able to like, I feel like a lot of people, that's how they get in their element is like they drink a little bit, they loosen up, and then they just have a good time. And like for me, it's like I'll always have like reservations maybe because like I don't do that, so I'll kind of just, you know, be like I can still have fun and everything, but it's not as much as like if I was drinking, maybe like, you know, I would be more open to doing things or more confident to go out and do things
maybe
I wouldn't normally
but
do.
Like I don't know, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I mean, when I first started going to the club, like, those were, like, the years that I wasn't drinking either. Like, you know, I was just, like, abstinent from, like, that drinking, essentially. And, you know, I had fun, too. You know, like, I wouldn't dance with women. You know, I fucking dance my ass off. But, like, for me, like, I have to be in the mood for it. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. Like, not to say, like, you know, I didn't want to come out and hang out with you guys, but kind of had to force myself to go a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't, and if I ever force myself to go, I know I'm not going to have a good time.
Yeah, I feel like for me, it might be better to do like more like intimate like bar experience, like something like Bob's out here or something, like where it's like you don't have to like shout in someone's ear for them to hear you and things like that. Like I think it's much more difficult, like especially in like the clubs we were at, to like crack on to people or to like talk to people, because it's just so many people and you don't know who's who or who's with who or who's doing what. So
yeah, it's kind of whatever. But so what else is going on right now?
Not
I had a
much.
Date.
Yeah.
Yeah, not I had a date. Date.
Gen 2 of Pokemon Go is out.
Yes.
And
Gen,
that was part of your date.
That was a part of my date, yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty interesting. I think I kind of overworked it in my head. Like I didn't like... So basically, why? Well, so like I took this girl to like the zoo to play like Pokemon Go. And I don't necessarily, like, I thought it was, like, a good date, but, like, maybe, I don't know, like, not necessarily, like, your conventional date. So, I wasn't sure if it went well or not, but I don't know. I feel like it went better than maybe I think it did. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how that kind of works out.
Yeah.
I mean, girl said yes to, like, a date, too, so we'll see what happens.
That's good. Here in California, I know Southern California too, we've been pelted by some storms recently.
Yes.
Power went out at my work on Friday. That was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sick, dude.
But that's about it for catching up, I think. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else? Or should we just, you know, hop into
some... Oh, I got promoted at work.
You got that, yeah.
Yes, moving up to a supervisory level. I mean, that's pretty much all I can really say on it, you know. But we're all moving on up, moving on up.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get into news now, guys. Let's do that. This is the MBR News live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
All right, cool. Thanks, mate. And all that good jazz. All right. So the first article here, Warner Brothers appears to have found a Shazam director in Lights Out's David F. Sandberg. So the rap reports that lights out Helmer, David F. Sandberg, is prepared to call upon the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury for the DC Comics adaptation. Sandberg, who made his feature film debut with Lights Out based on his own original short, is also the director behind Warner Brothers' upcoming Annabelle 2. Horror fans can likely take away from this news that the August 11th The Conjuring sequel spinoff is looking solid at the studio. Created in 1939 by artist C.C. Beck and writer Bill Parker, Shazam first appeared in Fawcett Comics' Wiz Comics number 2. By saying the word Shazam, teenager Billy Batson was transformed into the world's mightiest mortal and given extraordinary abilities by ancient gods. Originally known as Captain Marvel, legal disputes between DC and Marvel Comics over the decades led to the hero receiving an official name change in 2011. The Shazam movie is set to star Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam and will take place in the same cinematic universe as Man of Steel, BVS, and Suicide Squad. Johnson's manager and producing partner in recent conversations with Newsweek said, "Shazam is to live in the same world, but we have incredible autonomy over this brand and franchise. We are working with a different team and different producers, directors. It's a different setup. We don't feel fettered by or constrained by the successes or failures and challenges of the other projects. That was a key component to our participation, that we be able to control the tone and the voice and do it the way we want to. We're getting script drafts in. It's important to make sure we get the tone right for Black Adam, which is Dwayne's part." Which is all very good, because I think what he meant to say was the failures and dark tones of other movies were a hindrance to us.
Yes, I agree.
Jack the Giant Slayer scribe Darren Lemke is penning the script for Shazam. Shazam was previously announced for an April 5th, 2019 debut date, just a month before Marvel's Avengers Infinity War Part 2. Johnson previously teased on social media, however, that the film could arrive earlier than that.
I find it interesting, though. It's like they have like all these directors and whatnot, and they even have Shazam's villain, the Black Adam, playing by Dwayne Johnson already, but they don't have a Shazam yet.
Right.
How absurd.
Right.
So, like, who's going to play Billy and who's going to play Shazam? Like, this is absurd that they don't have this yet.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, like, release dates and shit. Like, you guys don't even have, like, any of your, like, cast, like, even being close to being done. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a script. You don't have anything. And people are getting so excited about this movie, but it's so far off.
Yeah.
And you guys are talking about fucking release dates already? Fuck off.
And look at movies like... That's like your fourth F word this podcast.
It's all right, because, you know, I just abandon ship on this sort of thing.
Look at movies like The Flash and Aquaman and these movies that have, like, are supposed to come out in the next year, essentially, that have had, like, three or four different directors already, you know?
Yeah, it gives us no hope.
Yeah, and then now we have to move on to this piece of news.
Oh, haha, yes, Batman negotiations with director Matt Reeves reportedly break down. Surprise, surprise. Well, that didn't last long. Late last Friday, news broke that Cloverfield Let Me In and Planet of the Apes director Matt Reeves was in negotiations to direct Warner Brothers Pictures' upcoming Batman movie. Now, The Hollywood Reporter says that those Batman negotiations have broke down. According to the trade, Reeves has exited the talks, though the studio is intent on making the movie no matter what. They do add the talks could possibly resume when heads cool. Prior to Reeves receiving the offer, Ridley Scott and Fede Alvarez were among the names on the short list.
Yeah, all I know is, like, this is just more dysfunction coming out of Warner Brothers and DC. And I don't think they're going to be back in talks with Matt Reeves. And pretty much what they just said is they're making this movie no matter what, even if it's shit, they're going to make it.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, guys, in case you guys didn't know, we are live on Periscope this time. Not Facebook Live, but Periscope, which can be found through our Twitter, you know, list thingy, our tweets and stuff. Yeah. You know, it automatically uploads to Twitter. So just another reason to be following us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You get those, like, live video logs of our podcast, you know, a little bit behind the scenes for us. So let's move on back into the news. Sorry, guys.
Jason Momoa says Aquaman will take you to a world that you've never seen before, like Atlantis. I don't know, maybe something like that.
Very interesting.
Aquaman is set to begin filming this summer and star Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones. He's talking about his role. In an interview with Digital Trends, Momoa spoke about what we're going to see in the Warner Brothers films directed by James Wan. Momoa joked about being teased about playing the role because the character has often been derided as one of the lesser superheroes in the DC universe. Jason Momoa said, "The cool thing with Aquaman is how it taps into the native culture, and that's something that we're only taught a little about. So there's a lot of interesting things. I really think it's the right time. It's really cool. Zack Snyder is one of those perspectives on And okay, that didn't make sense, but yeah, he's one of those perspectives on it, and DC is really getting behind it. It was a ballsy step. They did it, and I'm extremely happy with the world they've created. It's an honor to be part of this." Momoa also talked about the influences on the story, saying, "I read the Aquaman script, and let me just put it this way. I've never seen a movie that's anything like this. It's going to be a world that you've never seen before, which is really cool. We went to space, we traveled all over different worlds, but we never went underwater. So it's just a really cool spin on what's below." Okay, and it uses a lot of great movies that I already love, whether that be Raiders of the Lost Ark, to Star Wars, to Lord of the Rings, to Romancing the Stone. It has a lot of really cool adventure, it's funny and heroic, and there's a lot of different characters and a lot of different worlds that we get to go to. He went on to say that he read the script and just started training for it, and I can't wait. I've spent a lot of time in this industry, so I'm excited to put all that energy into completely fucking some shit up.
Interesting.
I mean, I like Jason Momoa, but
I like him too.
In whose world is it a good idea to not go underwater with Aquaman?
I don't know, dude. So I don't know if you've even heard of this show, but I'm gonna start watching it. I
think Frontier.
It
came out like a couple years ago, but it's like been highly advertised on Netflix now.
Yeah, like it's like yeah, I like noticed. I think it was like came out in like 2015, and now it's like they're really promoting it and stuff on Netflix. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Anyways, I would like I started watching like the first episode, but it was really late at night, so I fell asleep.
Fair enough.
But yeah, what I do remember from it was pretty good. Anyways, Mel Gibson confirmed Suicide Squad 2 director talks last week. It was revealed that two-time Academy Award winner Mel Gibson was being courted to potentially direct Warner Brothers Pictures' Suicide Squad sequel. Now, via Batman News. What? Batman, what?
That apparently that's a real website.
Batman-News. Oh, God. All right, Gibson himself has confirmed at a screening for Hacksaw Ridge that he and the studios are in kind of a first date phase of discussing the project. Plans for Gibson to helm the Suicide Squad sequel are far from done a deal, but we will keep you updated. Thanks for this useless piece of news.
Yeah.
Meaning, hey, you know, they're entertaining the idea. But it doesn't really matter because nothing is...
They're like, hey, guys, we have a cool rumor for you.
Interesting.
Thanks.
Go anyway, on, lad.
Moving on to some Fox Marvel news.
Sure.
Sophie Turner confirms new X-Men movie begins shooting this year. The internet has seen a flurry of rumors regarding the new X-Men movie with the title of X-Men Supernova floating around in a synopsis suggesting another adaptation of the Dark Phoenix storyline following the mishap of X-Men The Last Stand. Nothing official has been announced about the project, including who will direct it, who will write it, or who will star in it. Well, that's all not very important at all, right? But now actress Sophie Turner has confirmed the rumor that production will begin this year, and if the Game of Thrones star is set to return as Jean Grey, it's possible the film will see her at the forefront. Speaking with Hey You Guys, are they just making up names of things now?
I think so.
All right. Turner was asked about the forthcoming schedule, saying, "We're about to start shooting the next X-Men. We've just finished shooting Season 7 of Game of Thrones, and I've got a couple of movies to do before X-Men starts, and then we go on to Season 8. X-Men Apocalypse producer-writer Simon Kinberg previously confirmed that the next X-Men movie would follow the trajectory of the series and jump ahead 10 years with the next movie, and have a 1990s setting. The X-Men comics saw a commercial boom during the 1990s, following the characters' redesigns by Jim Lee, which went on to be the basis for the fan-favorite animated series, and some of which are still being used today, though it remains to be seen what, if any, elements of that popular run will make it into the feature. All I have to say about that is, why do they insist on trying to do the Dark Phoenix before they even establish the Phoenix?
We'll get into that later. Just kidding. I don't know. Fox does interesting things, you know. You just kind of gotta roll with the punches and, you know, just sit there and just know at the end of the day that they'll disappoint you and, like, you'll just be sad the entire time.
Are they going to introduce the Shi'ar? Like, is that going to be a thing?
No,
like,
probably not. No. Don't worry.
Is she
going to
eat
it.
Planets?
No, probably not. Don't worry about it.
All right. Here's the last bit of news. You have to read it. So.
All right. Logan, a darker tone was concerning for Fox, according to the studio chief. All right. Logan, the third and final film in the Wolverine trilogy, beginning with 2009's X-Men Origins Wolverine and 2013 The Wolverine, which was garbage, is going to have to be decidedly darker tone than the character's earlier appearances. This was a concern for 20th Century Fox, according to the chairman, Stacy Snyder. Yeah, Snyder. Variety reports that the that Snyder spoke about their feelings during a Q&A at the Recode Media Conference in Laguna Niguel. Something like that. On Tuesday, Snyder said, "Inside, there was real concern, sure, about the intensity of the tone of the film. It is more an elegy." What, dude? What is with these words? Come on, just use normal words. It's just so weird.
She's pretentious, huh?
Yeah, you can tell by the words she uses. Paradigm and shit like that. God damn it. All right. The paradigm for it was a Western, and my colleagues were up in arms. It's not a wisecrack, cigar-chomping, mutton-sporting Wolverine. And the debate internally became, isn't that freaking boring? Isn't it exciting to imagine Wolverine as a real guy? And he's world-weary. He doesn't want to fight anybody anymore. Until a little girl needs him.
What?
Shut up!
This was your basis for this movie? Like,
I'm sorry I just destroyed everyone's ears, but
I don't understand how you can, like, be like, "Hey guys, isn't Wolverine in the comic books boring?"
Yeah,
that was really loud.
I don't give a shit.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard
into the one or two. I can't see. Is that a one or a two viewer? Fuck off. All right.
I've seen, like, early reviews of Logan, and they've all been very, very good reviews. I haven't read the full reviews. I just saw the scores they were giving it.
Oh, sick, dude.
But I mean, I don't. I'm suspicious about this movie.
Yeah,
now.
Probably. Dude, it's just, okay, that lady was so pretentious, dude. It was unreal.
Yeah, using words like elegy, paradigm, and contemporaneous or whatever.
Which would just, like, essentially, from my context clues, meant concerning. I'm assuming that's what it kind of means, something along those lines.
Yeah, consternation, yeah. It's like concern. Or,
yeah, dude, I mean, you can't just use a regular word that people are going to understand. I'm not interested in improving my vocabulary today.
If you were, you'd get a dinosaur's favorite book.
A thesaurus.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all the news, I guess. No Marvel news this week because they don't
like
us. Oh,
damn, do we have 0 followers now?
You scared them away by telling them to fuck off.
Wait, they're back. What's up?
All right, we're going to move into
they're like,
shows
dude, this guy has, like,
now.
Down syndrome or something.
Starting with Supergirl. But first, let me just tell you guys.
But wait, that's more.
There's only the two shows on this week, Supergirl and Arrow.
An error.
So we're going to talk about those. So yeah, we're going to get into Supergirl.
Sick, bro.
Supergirl.
Supergirl Season 2, Episode 12, Luthors. Lena is arrested when Metallo breaks Lillian out of prison, and evidence suggests that Lena is responsible.
What'd you think of the episode?
That was a good episode.
I thought it was garbage.
You didn't really pay that much attention to it.
Oh, I was paying attention. I just lost interest.
Oh, okay.
Like, the only good part was, like, the scene between, like, Kara and Mon-El.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, Tashon. And then, like, they mixed the plots or whatever his stupid name is like, I love you, Kara Zor-El. Wank me off.
Wank me off right now.
I
don't know. I didn't really care for the episode. It was pretty boring, really.
I'm surprised because you are a fan of Superman lore.
I am.
And this episode was ripe with Superman lore.
It was. It had a lot of Easter eggs in there.
Yeah. You just didn't like it. You didn't care for Lena and her mom.
Yeah, the whole thing. I was just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, on the second watch, it was much more boring, but I enjoyed it the first time I watched it.
Okay, to be fair, though, I think maybe it's because it was following I watched Arrow first.
Yeah, that was a mistake. You should have watched this first.
Arrow was good.
Arrow was very heavy.
And then this episode was just so lackluster in comparison, you know? I was just
They don't compare. Like,
I even thought about taking a walk after, like, I watched Arrow, and then I was like, no, I'm just going to hurry up and watch this so we can podcast, and I have other stuff to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn it, that was a mistake. I was like, why did I do this? Yeah. Not to say, like, I don't know, like, it wasn't a bad episode. I guess I had, like, retract my statement saying it was garbage. And it wasn't really garbage. It was just so lackluster in comparison. Like, it's hard to, like, sit there and, like, you know, separate them because, like, a lot of times I don't have time during, like, the week to really watch the shows. I'll have to watch them on the weekends. And, like, so they're all clustered up. And then for me, and then it's, like, it's almost like your natural instinct is, like, to compare, like, how good it was based off of what you just watched on, the previous episode of something else.
Yeah. To be fair, like, for people who don't know you, it's important they understand that when you dislike something, your first instinct is to say it's garbage or trash.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it's not like he means like he thinks it was a zero or something.
No.
He just didn't enjoy it as much as Arrow.
Oh, yeah,
so in
trash.
Comparison, it was just garbage.
Yeah, it's just trash. So no worries in life right now. Yeah, dude, there was like really rich in, you know, Easter eggs and, you know, especially with like, you know, Lex Luthor and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting there thinking about, and I was like, you know, like the relationship between Lena Luthor and Kara. And I was just thinking about, I was like, oh, you know, thinking back to, you know, Superman and how Lex Luthor started it, you know, and they were friends. And, you know, for many, many years, he defended him and, like, you know, really always stood up for Lex. Yeah. You know,
Jimmy
saying,
brought that up in this episode.
What's that?
And Jimmy brought that
yeah,
up.
Yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, Jimmy brought it up and I was like, oh, yes, well done.
Yeah.
And they had, like, Lex's armor there. They had, like, Black Mercy in his vault. And there was, like a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, there were, like, some boring-ish parts, I guess. Like, I like Lena. Like, I think she's, like, a good character.
She's okay.
But
I much prefer, like, Cat Grant. But they wrote her off the show, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, I think they just said, like, you know, like, on the show, like, she was, like, leaving to do other, like, business ventures or whatever, or, like, go, like, you know, try to be a mom or whatever, but I think, I don't think they ever announced it, but I think it's kind of, like, unsaid news.
This episode just kind of felt like a workhorse episode. Like, yeah. It accomplished a lot, like, just established,
it was,
like,
character building, really.
Lena is not evil. Jimmy and Kara are back to just being friends and whatever. They don't, you know, she's not all worried about him anymore. She was finally at the end honest with Mon-El. So,
yes.
Kind of accomplished all that. And obviously Lillian's out in the wild trying to murder, foreigners. So,
yep.
Yeah. Would you like to grade it?
Sure. I'll grade it like a 7.
All right. Yeah, I was going to give it like a 7.5.
All right.
Fair.
All righty. Moving on to Arrow. Season 5, Episode 13, Spectre of the Gun. Following the traumatic attack on City Hall, flashbacks show how Renee became Wild Dog.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
I mean, all right, Grady. No, dude, this episode was, like, amazing.
It was very, very deep and heavy and...
And has, like, one of the number one, like, red hot topics in America at the moment. In the world, really. Really dealt with, you know, domestic terrorism and...
Gun control, gun violence, things like
gun that. Gun rights and all this kind of stuff. Like, where do you land on the side? I looked over at Christian, I was like, this is going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, both on the political and the social aspects of it. So... I guess we should talk about it in the frame of the show first. So essentially this guy, you know, has this, what would you call it, a mass shooting or whatever. He goes off on City Hall and starts killing a bunch of people, killed 7 people, injured like 24, and like there were like 9 in critical condition or something.
Yeah.
And he did this as a statement because his family, his wife and daughter were murdered by a gun. And you know, he was of the opinion, or we were given to believe, he was that you know, the gun rights registration or whatever that was supposed to be passed under a previous administration that didn't get passed, maybe he was blaming that for it. We find out later he wasn't. But because the city essentially failed him, you know, he's making a statement now. Through gun violence. So what did you think of that angle on that?
Well, I mean, I thought that was really stupid. I mean, I think it was just somebody that was misguided and very angry and stuff, and somebody that wasn't like mentally stable, really. I mean,
it's just... is this one of those things where, you know, if we look at shows and, you know, they connect to the real world through metaphor, but, you know, we kind of go there for escapism. Is this too real for some people, do you think?
I feel like it could be. I mean, I personally love the episode, but I mean, I can understand how like there could be definite backlash on this particular episode and stuff. But that's what comics have always been. It's always been a catalyst,
a social, you know,
a social platform, essentially. And you know, maybe not to directly talk about it so much as directly forward as this episode has done. But at the same time, it's like, I remember we were just talking about this like a couple weeks ago and about how like somebody was like criticizing like Stan Lee about you know, what comics are today and stuff. And we're like, you know, like, well, like Stan Lee came out back at that person, was like, well, obviously you don't know the history of comics, because even back in the 60s.
There was a clipping from one of the comics where, because he was asked about why he includes all these social issues in the comics. There's a clipping of something he wrote in one of the comic books back in the 60s that explained it, you know?
And, you know, that, as much as, you know, it's an escape from reality, but there's so much things that we draw from our comic books. And yes, this is not a comic book. It's a comic book show, and it's based off of comics. But, you know, it's what sells pretty much, you know.
And for the people who do think it's too real, too realistic, like it's something like that people try to avoid, you know, is talking about things like this. Like the thing I liked most about this episode is they didn't force anything down your throat. It wasn't one-sided. It wasn't just guns are bad, or it wasn't just people have rights. It was, you know, they actually had a real discussion through Renee and Curtis, and then through the congresswoman or the councilwoman and Oliver, you know.
And I thought like the interesting thing, one of the most interesting things, is you know, what Curtis said really was, you know, like how he's like, he came back at Felicity. He's like, you know what? No, it's not all right. What happened to the days where we could have a conversation on our social issues, or who we've, you know, and this is going past just, you know, what he said. But like what he said is, you know, what happened to the days where we could have the conversations about the social issues, regardless of where we fall on them. And then at the end of the day, we still respect each other. What happened to those days? You know what I mean? And he's like, maybe that's what's wrong with our country today. And I fully agree with that statement, because what happened to the day where just because you voted for somebody doesn't make you something, you know? At the end of the day, we used to openly, you know, support who we vote for. And we could still be friends. We could still respect each other. And it's no longer that way. We're in a
we're in a society now that monoliths people. So, you know, when you think of people who voted for Donald Trump, a lot of people think of, you know, just everybody's the same. Everybody is this, you know, uneducated, you know, whatever kind of person or whatever, you know, like we monolith people. Everyone who did it is that person. Everyone who supported Hillary Clinton is fine with her being a felon. Everyone who's Muslim is a jihadist. Everyone who's Christian is this, you know, like it's not that way, you know.
Exactly.
There are different sects of people. There are, you know, moderate people. There are extremist people, like, and you know, a lot of people who might have voted for Donald Trump, you know, it could be because of healthcare, it could be because of foreign affairs, it could be anything like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, some other reason. They don't have to be an idiot, you know.
Yeah,
it's not just that, you know. I'm not saying that there aren't idiots who support Donald Trump. I know a few, but you know, that's them, you know. They have their own life and their own beliefs, and you know, that doesn't mean I can't be their friend. At the end of the day, it doesn't mean that, you know, we can't have a healthy discussion, even if it doesn't accomplish anything, you know.
Yeah,
it's good to have the discussion. So,
well, and let's bring it back, you know, into terms of what we're talking about. Yeah. Is I don't agree with that statement. What you just said is maybe it doesn't accomplish anything. I think anytime you discuss a matter, no matter on what scale, if it's on the grand scale of you solve the problem, or if it's a micro scale of maybe, you know, you even like remotely get somebody to even for a second think about something a different way, it always accomplishes something. It always accomplishes something. I disagree with the sentiment that we have these conversations for no reason, because then you come into the trap saying, well, why are we even talking about it then?
Well, yeah, I think that's the case most times, because, you know, there are people that are generally open-minded, but then there are also people that are just trolls that just want to argue.
But,
and there are people that are so stuck in their way that no matter what you say, they're never going to believe, no matter what facts you level at them.
But you're thinking in the spectrum of, if you have a conversation with somebody, you're there to change their mind. But what if it's, you go into the conversation trying to express your idea, but then you think of something differently? It doesn't just work one way of you trying to get your side of the story to somebody else. It goes both ways. That's how conversations work.
Right.
It's a back and forth pull of, you know, words.
Yeah.
Between two, you know, one or two people or a group of people, you know. And I don't know, it's just, I thought this episode of Arrow was like so deep on so many different levels, you know, gun control, the idea of having, you know, your freedom of speech to have a discussion and not sit there and, you know, label each other as, you know, left or right nuts, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know, like, I thought it was a great episode, but yeah, I could understand how maybe it was a little just too real for some people. And those people, you know, fine, that's all right. Not every episode is going to be just like this one, you know.
Yeah.
But don't be surprised if there are more episodes like this one.
Right.
Because like we said, the comics have always been a platform for social issues, and, you know, well, dating back to the existence, just the creation of them. You know, it was a way for people, like the old time newspaper comic strips, it was a way for them to talk of the social issues through comedy.
Right.
And stuff, and discretion, essentially, and to get, you know, your ideas out there. And
yeah,
that's how comics were created.
Well, even beyond comics, like, you know, it's like people can look at this and be like, oh, well, you're just here to entertain us. Like, stay in your lane. Don't talk about this stuff. Just like with celebrities, you know, people level those criticism at them, like, well, you're just a celebrity. Well, we're all just people, right? We're all just people. You have the right to say that, but we also have the right to discuss things that we want to discuss, and TV shows have the right to make these social commentaries just like comic books do, you know?
I just think too many people too often are just too content and burying their heads in the sand, essentially, and I think that's generally what is wrong. And then the people that don't bury their heads, if they have the conversation, then they're willing to attack verbally, physically, you know.
Right.
You know, essentially become some bully, essentially, you know. And I just think that needs to change, man.
Yeah,
that needs to change.
And
I think I honestly give the writers and, you know, the producers and the directors a lot of, you know, like, thanks for making this episode, because it isn't easy making episodes like this, you know, especially because it hits so close to home, especially in our day and age when we deal with so much, you know, domestic and foreign terrorism in the world. And it is a heavy, hot button topic, especially in America, like, you know, and especially talking about gun rights. Oh, my gosh. You talk to somebody about gun rights, man, you're likely to
Think about the discussions after the Pulse nightclub shooting, you know, made us, you know, get on a separate podcast and talk about gun rights and gun violence and things that.
That was an intense conversation.
But more than that, you know, it's like, think about the discussions that other people were having around that time. And that's good. Discussions are good, but it's like, you know, it's getting that out there. And because it's such hot button, like, that's the real thing, is it makes people talk. And if you guys don't like it, don't watch it. that's the extent of it. You know, exactly. You don't have to watch it. Exactly. Nobody's forcing you.
So moving away from just the social issue, what do you think about Renee's story? And because, like, I even looked at you, I was like, wait, did we know, like, Renee had a family?
Yeah, I wasn't like that.
That was never known. I was like, what the hell? I did not know that.
Well, when he first got on the show, I was like, oh, he's like a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, like, I guess he's like actually older. He's like probably closer to his 30s now.
Yeah. Yeah. His wife was killed because she was doing drugs, and her dealer came after her, which was, well, I don't know, altercation with Renee kind of thing, and she ended up getting killed in the process.
Yeah.
And his daughter got taken away from him because, you know, he wasn't fit, I guess, to raise her, which is very sad.
Yes.
But Curtis is going to help him get her back. That was nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I
like the push and pull between those two characters, Curtis and Renee. I think, like, they just feed off each other really well.
And what they showed as well through this episode is, despite the vehement disagreements between the two of them, they still respect each other. They still get along. They're still teammates. They're still friends, or more than friends. They might be brothers, you know, like, beyond, you know, what you think, you know? So I think that was good to see. There's also some very subtle things happening in this episode. Really managed to accomplish a lot, you know.
Yes.
Beyond the social commentary, you know, Felicity is still kind of going darker with this flash drive. Like, we saw that, like, using it to get location on Prometheus's mom and things like that. Like, it's a very subtle note, you know, but, like, you can still see it. The other thing that, like, was going on, I guess, well, there's Bernelli. He got killed. Who cares? Oliver's kind of stepping up as mayor, you know?
That's good.
And he saved the day as the mayor, you know, as Oliver Queen, the mayor, both through policy and talking down, Edlund.
Yeah. I was like, very inspiring.
Yeah. So that was great to see as well. I'm happy, like, he's actually serving a purpose as the mayor now, instead of just being a figurehead.
Just basically being a puppet where he delegates issues to different sectors of his cabinet, basically.
Yeah. And then there was the small plot line between Diggle and Dinah.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was like,
did you sense, like, chemistry between them?
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they're, like, maybe going to hook up someday, even though John is married.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was like, what is going on here exactly? Yeah. I was like, what is this?
I think the purpose was, like, you know, it didn't really fit in with the theme of this episode, but, like, taking a risk and getting back into normal life after being away for so long, which is, like, how they connect, because Diggle had to do the same thing.
But you also have to remember, like, Diggle has always been, like, almost like that father kind of, like, cornerstone of the entire group. He's always been the person that gives, like, the reliable advice and, you know, to everyone.
But he's been going crazy on people, too.
Like, yeah, yep.
Beating
true.
The crap out of, like, guys for information.
And yeah, there maybe seemed like there was something there, but maybe that was also, like, intended that way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just kind of as, like, misdirection. I mean, I just wonder, like, is there any possibility, you know, of Oliver and her? And you have to wonder that. You know what I mean?
I think they will get together.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Oh, and she's back. She's a police officer again. She joined the SCPD. That was the last thing we kind of learned from this episode. So.
Yeah.
So
what would you grade this episode?
I'd give this episode a 9.9.
Me, too.
Yeah, like, even, you know, on top of accomplishing everything they did with the social commentary, and like I said, you know, like, they didn't push any one side down your throat. They presented both sides and kind of let you think for yourself. I don't think it's very realistic what they did. Like, in the real world, you're never gonna come to grips, you know, and make a policy that both respects your rights and respects public safety, you know?
Maybe.
But I think it was
could be helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be hopeful.
But yeah, on top of that, they did accomplish a lot of other things. So it was just a really solid, strong episode of Arrow.
Yeah, it was great. I think it was so close to, like, what Arrow could be as near perfect. It was just missing, like, maybe, like, that big wow factor.
Yeah. I mean,
that's I felt that missed. You know, like, and not to say, like, it takes nothing away from the episode. The episode was maybe one of their best episodes ever.
Yeah, I mean, this has been their best season since season 2 with Slade, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
By far, you know, and it might even be better than that season. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait to see how it concludes this season and where certain storylines and character lines lead us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it very well may be. Like, I mean, their flashbacks have been so great. I'm definitely excited to see where Arrow goes. Most of our shows come back next week.
Yeah, except for Gotham.
Yeah, no Gotham till, like, I don't know, April. 2018 or something. Who knows? No, I'm just kidding. No, it comes back in April. Next week starts the Flash two-part, like, two-week Grodd
storyline.
That should be good. Can't wait for that.
So that wraps up all our shows. So you want to talk at all about Lego Batman?
I mean, not much, but, you know, it's definitely a movie that, you know, if you're a comic fan, or you don't even have to be a comic fan, it's really a throwaway movie.
Yeah.
It's really just a parody movie based off of, like, you know, what goes on in the world of Batman. And if you're a comic fan, you can have a little bit more appreciation for some of the humor that goes on.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like, you know, like, it was a good movie, but it could have been better. I think, you know, they should have stuck with the theme of being, like, a parody. They tried to make, like, an emotional tie-in with the story, and I kind of felt like it did a little too much. But overall, like, I mean, great, great humor, great, like, Lego effects, and it was hilarious, and, you know, I mean, that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I didn't mind the emotional arc, but I can see how people were just like, you got your emotion in my comedy, you know, blank off. But yeah, I thought the movie was very enjoyable. I would definitely recommend you guys, anybody, go see it. I mean, it's the highest grossing, it's won, like, box office 2 weeks in a row. It beat out the Great Wall movie that just came out. No real surprise. It beat out 50 Shades.
Yeah, that's a little surprising, considering that it was Valentine's last week, you know, so.
Yeah, but, you know, one's rated R, one's not, so.
Yeah.
Parents, stop taking your infants to movies, please.
Yes, please.
But, yeah, great movie. They took jabs at Suicide Squad, BVS, a bunch of other movies. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so, like, remember, like, how, like, you know, like, the Scream movies were, you know, make fun of, like, all these different horror movies?
Yeah.
That's essentially what this movie did with, like, a lot of things that, you know, DC and, like, the Warner Brothers do. And it all focused in on, you know, Batman, though. So,
yeah.
We'll have to...
Yeah, they took Batman and, you know, blew him to a whole new level. Like, essentially, Batman in this movie was Batman fanboys. Like, oh, dude, he's so shredded. He's, like, the best guy ever. His gadget's in his brain, and he's amazing. Like, that's what Batman was in this movie.
Yep.
So.
But, yeah, that's all we got to say about it. Definitely a recommended movie. I don't even think it's worth, like, you know, going into some deep analysis or even giving a grade. I just... Our grade is that it's recommended movie. Go see it.
This is not a movie to go into and, like, think critically about. It's just go and enjoy it.
It's a throwaway movie that you'll enjoy and have a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, so
this is the definition of escapism.
Like, yep. All right. So that's all we got for you guys this week. But before we sign out, you know, go make sure you guys are following us on all our social media, like I had mentioned earlier in the podcast. So if you guys didn't pause the podcast and do that right now. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and we even have this awesome website designed by Christian himself, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Yes. So one good advantage of following us is, you know, we're on Periscope right now. What a Periscope.
Yep.
That's directly uploaded and posted onto our Twitter as soon as we go live on Periscope. And, you know, and you know, same thing with Facebook Live, obviously, goes.
Yeah.
You know, people who subscribe to our page or like our page will automatically be updated when we go live. Same with Instagram. We've never tried that. We're still looking into it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to our favorite Twitter and social media, you know, followers, Nicholas J. Thanks for always, you know, being around and always supporting us, man. It really does mean a lot to us. And thanks, Jamar, as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank one of our friends, Alex, for giving us some very strong feedback on our merchandise. We do appreciate all your input, buddy. And thank you for supporting our merchandise campaign as well. And thank you to everybody else that supported, whether you bought merchandise or you just shared it on your social media. We do appreciate you. You loyal. I like that. Another one.
Word.
Shout out to... Oh, yes. Reality Comics, social media for nerds. Shout out to Nerd Variety Podcast, a nerd podcast that you can find on iTunes and Podbean.com. Make sure you guys go check out our resident Sacramento streamer, Chai Star. You can find her on twitch.tv/ChaiStar. That's C-H-I-I-S-T-A-R. She also has a Twitter page you guys can follow. Let her know that the Nerdy Boy sent you. We would appreciate that. Yeah. Make sure you guys go hit that subscribe button if her subscribe button is active. And make sure you drop her a follow on Twitch as well. I think that's it for our shout-outs, right?
Yeah.
Right?
All the articles we talked about will be in the description of this podcast if you want to read them for yourself, along with links to all our social media. And
can they find that, though?
In the description of the podcast when they look at our podcast.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show notes.
Well, yeah, there will be show notes in the description, and then there will also be show notes on our website under our blog. So
that is a new feature that Christian came up with. Just in case you guys are ever wondering, like, oh, okay, are these guys just making up these nudist articles? No, we aren't. We're actually going and doing some research and, you know, grabbing news articles that grab our attention that we can talk about that are interesting that pertains to our fields.
Yeah.
Guys.
And not just, hey, so-and-so who's never acted before has been cast for a movie you might like in a mystery role. We don't care about mystery roles.
Via moviepilot.com/WeAreTheInbreds.
Yeah. I think Movie Pilot is the only news organization that Donald Trump is referring to when he says they're dishonest and they're fake news. Like, I think that's the only one he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Because,
you know.
All right, guys. That's all that we got for you this week. We're going to sign out now. But as always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we got one simple message for you, and that's just stay nerdy, boys.